With summer approaching, you might be looking forward to letting your guide dog free run out in the great outdoors. Or you may be walking through parks on a daily basis, or even taking your dog on holiday to Europe. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the increase of tick-borne disease and parasites that can create disease in dogs, and some can potentially harm humans as well. What are the risks, and what can we do to help keep our dogs safe and ourselves? Well, I'm joined now by zoologist Professor Richard Wall from Bristol University. Hello.
Hello.
Now, thanks for giving us your time. Now, there's a lot of warnings been going out, especially over the last couple of years, about tick-borne disease. Now, tell us a little bit about ticks and how they operate.
Well, ticks are actually quite closely related to spiders, but they're all bloodsuckers, and they need a blood meal to complete their life cycle. And they go through three basic life cycle stages. You get a very, very tiny larva, which has six legs. And that molts to become a nymph, which has got eight legs, and that molts to become an adult male or female, and they've got eight legs as well.
Now, they are tiny, aren't they?
They can be. Certainly in the early life cycle stages, they're less than a millimetre in length. But the adults, once they feed, particularly the adult females, will engorge with blood, and they get to about a centimetre in length.
So what are the risks then for us with our dogs? Let's start off just in the UK at the moment when it comes to ticks, because they can make our dogs ill as well as humans, can't they?
They can do, yes. I mean, the first thing is just the act of blood feeding attaching to the skin can cause a, sort of a damaging lesion of the skin. It can be quite distressing for the animal that's bitten. It'll scratch and rub and bite where the tick is attached. So that's the first thing. Just the pure attachment to the tick is very nice for the dog. But also they can spread pathogens such as Lyme disease. That's one we're particularly concerned about. It's probably more of concern for humans than dogs, but a small number of dogs do get clinical signs associated with Lyme.
So can the ticks move from dogs to humans?
No, they don't really move from the dog to the human. It's just that we pick them up in the same places as the dog. So we're walking through long grass and forest environments, and when the dog picks them up, then the humans are exposed at the same time.
Now, are the symptoms when a dog has been bitten by a tick?
Not really. Not unless it, with a single tick being biting an animal, it might bite and scratch at the site of the tick infestation. But actually, in many cases, it's quite hard to see, particularly with the early life cycle stages, because they're so small. It's quite hard to see that the tick is attached. And really, you've got to groom the dog. If you run your fingers through the hair, you should be able to feel it attached.
Now, a lot of our listeners are obviously dealing with sight loss, so the visual aspect of finding a tick is probably lost on us. But can you find them by just running your hand through the fur?
You can. You can feel them attached to the skin. In fact, feeling them is probably a more sensitive way of doing than trying to see them, because you can feel the tick attached and sort of loose on the skin. You need to be a little bit careful. We have had situations where people have been trying to pull off skin tags from dogs, but generally you can feel them quite well.
And what about removing a tick then from an animal? Is there a special procedure for that?
Well, generally we'd use a tick hook, a little plastic tick hook, and you put that down over the tick, you push it as close to the skin as possible, and then try and twist the tick out, which is usually fairly effective. But if in any doubt, then you need to talk to your local veterinary surgeon. And in fact, in general, when thinking about how to protect animals from ticks, the first port of call should be to talk to your vet.
Now, it's been on the increase in the UK, Lyme disease and the ticks and the parasite disease. Are there any areas where we should be particularly careful in the UK?
Well, the ticks are found pretty much everywhere, but particularly we tend to find them in areas of long grass, in forest areas, moorland, bracken, heather. Basically, they like thick, fairly damp vegetation, and those are the peak areas. We also know that they tend to occur more commonly at certain times of year. So February, March, April into May tend to be the peak times of year for ticks in this country.
Now, I heard last year that some ticks are actually moving into the cities now as well.
Well, ticks tend to be transported around by their hosts. Ticks don't move, our ticks anyway, don't move very far by themselves. They need to be carried by their hosts. One of the key hosts for transporting the adults around is deer. So when deer move into cities and encroach into parks and things around the outskirts of cities, then they'll carry the ticks with them. Then the following year, we'll get the ticks biting us and our dogs.
Now, there was a criticism last week saying that one of the reasons we're getting this is to do with lax behaviour on the continent when it comes to dogs and pets. Is that something we should really watch for if we're taking our dogs on holiday abroad to Europe?
Yes, it certainly is, because in continental Europe they have a number of diseases and tick-borne pathogens that we just don't get in this country. So it's really, really important if taking dogs on holiday to mainland Europe to make sure they're protected against ticks and tick-borne disease. Because there are a number of things, one of which is called Babesia canis, a sort of form of dog malaria. And we really don't get that in the UK. There's a couple of little spots where we might get it, but mainly it's found in parts of southwest France and northern Spain. So you need to be very, very careful when taking animals to those places. And then even there are other diseases, quite unpleasant diseases, found around the Mediterranean, which are spread by ticks. So whenever taking a dog out of this country, you need to be very careful and make sure it's protected. And again, that involves talking to the vet, explaining where you're going, and the vet will then tell you what sort of risks that dog is likely to encounter.
Now, there can be any number of viruses and things that dogs can pick up, but are there any other parasitical worries at the moment that we should watch out for?
Well, one other one, if you're taking your animal down to the south of Europe, there's something called leishmania, which is spread by a biting fly called a sand fly. And that can produce really unpleasant sores on the skin of the animal. And again, some of the treatments that you can get to protect animals against ticks will also protect them against sand flies. So it's worth, again, talking to the vet, saying where you're going, and the vet should be able to work out what the risks of these various biting insects are likely to be.
Is it fairly easy to protect our animals then with the right product?
It is. There are a number of different products available. And so what the vet will do is talk to you about how long you're going for, where you're going, how easy you find it is to treat that animal. So there are some products, for example, collars that can be put on, which will protect against ticks and sand flies. There are others which are chewable tablets, which are very good, which provide very long protection. So it just depends on how easy you find it to treat your animal and where you're going.
And is there a way that you can find out where the hotspots are in Europe and also in the UK?
There are various maps online. We've done quite a lot of work trying to work out where these hotspots are. So there are various maps that you can find online. But generally, in the UK, you just know it's associated with different types of habitat, different types of vegetation, that long grass, forest, moorland environment. But in mainland Europe, I think you can pretty much assume that any countryside environment is likely to be a risk, particularly down as you go down into southern areas of Europe. The risk of some of these diseases increases quite dramatically.
One thing we don't want to do is put people off going out into the countryside and enjoying it as well.
That's absolutely correct. As long as people are aware of what the risks are and know that their dog is protected against ticks, then there shouldn't be a problem at all.
Is there anything on the horizon that you're looking at the moment that hasn't become common knowledge yet?
Well, at the moment, the last study we've just done is looking at fleas and trying to work out some of the flea-borne pathogens. And again, it's one of the really interesting things. Whenever we look at the vectors and we look at the pathogens that they're carrying, we tend to find more things than we knew were there. It's quite scary, really, to some extent. Is when we look, we find all sorts of things that we just didn't know about beforehand.
So maybe ignorance is bliss then?
Well, it would be, but it actually is much better to be informed, aware of the risks, and then we can protect our animals against these pathogens.
So where can we get some good advice on this then, just as guidelines?
Well, always the first port of call should be the veterinary surgeon. They've got access to all the up-to-date information. They should be able to find the hotspot risks online. There are very good websites which explain a lot of this information. And they should be aware of the variety of different products used in different circumstances. So talking to the vet is always the best first place to go.
And of course, as you've mentioned, we should watch our own behaviour when we're walking in these kind of areas as well, shouldn't we?
Yes. I've got a couple of students at the moment who are wandering around local parks wearing white pairs of trousers, seeing how many ticks that they pick up. And the risk is exactly the same for humans. If you walk through this sort of long vegetation through woodland, particularly at this time of year, you're likely to pick up ticks.
They tend to hide, don't they, in the warm and sweaty parts of the body as well?
They do. They'll crawl across the body. They're looking for a nice protected area with a fairly high humidity to attach. And they might try probing at various sites, so they find an area, often an area with fairly thin skin, so under the armpits or various creases and crevices in the body they'll attach themselves to. Somewhere nice and protected.
And when it comes to humans, what would you look out for symptoms as well with a tick bite that you actually are infected?
Well, if you know you've been bitten by a tick, what you're looking for is a red ring around that bite site. The problem is that it doesn't occur in all cases. That red ring can be indicative of a Lyme disease. It means you've been infected. But it only occurs in about 60 or 70% of cases. So if you're bitten by a tick, if you see the red ring, that's great, go straight to your GP. But if you're bitten by a tick and you begin to feel a bit, usually it's cold-like symptoms or flu-like symptoms after the bite, then again, get down to see the GP.
Am I right in saying that if it's treated within about 30 days of the bite, then you can deal with it?
Yes, I mean, if it's treated, and it normally the treatment is a course of antibiotics, it really shouldn't cause a problem. But there seem to be some cases which you get these long-term persistent infections, but in the vast majority of cases that I'm aware of, appropriate treatment taken early enough will treat it and get rid of it.
So we can still enjoy our holidays and our exercise and fun with our dogs. We just have to be vigilant.
That's exactly the message. Just take care and be aware.
Zoologist Professor Richard Wall from Bristol University, thank you so much for your advice.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.